Remember her. I also remember our election tonight, and I don't know exactly where they're getting all their information, but as of right now, Channel 7 is saying the popular vote is 65% Donald Trump, 31% Hillary, 3 for Gary Johnson, and Jill Stein has got 0%. So, I don't even know why they ran. I really don't know why they ran. That's just somebody to throw. It's just to throw somebody off. Like somebody told me today, well, I'm going to vote, but I'm going to vote and it gets some kind of crazy thing, you know, and that's not cool. No. Now, I just updated and now Trump's got 55%, and Hillary's got 40% of the popular vote. And now they're predicting that I reckon because polls are closing, they're predicting at the moment that Donald Trump's got 19 electoral votes and Hillary's got 3. But the night's still young, because remember how we got thrown off with Romney and Obama. We got thrown off big time. Romney did. Who is it? Ric Flair. Woo! That guy. Woo! The wrestler. Well, he might be because he voted today. Fox News had that Ric Flair voted. They voted for himself. Ric Flair for president said he wants to put the woo back in the country. Kasich, that's crazy. Which one, the older or the younger? See, that's crazy. You've got to. Assume his position. I don't know. Well, let's go ahead and go through this so we can all get home and watch it. Now, I just want you to notice something. Oh, we got to pray first. Lord, any more prayer requests? No. No, it's the weather. Yeah. No. Frankie does this. You did. Look, Frankie goes through this every. You did. She goes through this every time the weather changes. And now the weather changed big time. And Linda the same way. The weather has got them. And so I would say that just by anybody right now, that weather's some tough stuff. Okay, well, let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for touching Frankie and all these people that are sick, Linda, those that the weather's getting to. I ask you right now, Lord, to continue to heal, Lord, like you're doing with Sister Dorothy. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in her life, Lord. I thank you, God, for keeping Marina and Jordan's baby safe, Lord. I thank you for all the things you're doing for us, God, in a special way. Ask you to touch Don's leg, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You're able, Father. And, Lord, we know, God, that you can do all things, and we trust you. And touch this election tonight. In the name of Jesus, we love you, and we praise your name. And the church said, amen. Now, what I want you to notice, I'm going to say it again this time. I want you to notice there's ballots over there. But if you look on this ballot, the L's, Old Testament word for God, you won't see Hillary or Donald's name up here. You do not see. Yeah, you see Elroy. Okay, so now let's talk about this, and then we'll go ahead and be able to go home and watch the elections. All right. And again, I'm not going to rush it because everybody's got any questions. We can still go through the questions. We're not going to rush it that way. We're just saying this because I know everybody's interested in this election. It's one of the most crucial elections we're going through in this decade. All right. People of all ages, lifestyles, and arenas of life ask the same questions. Does God know me? Does God love me? Can God ever forgive me? Underneath these questions lies an even more basic issue. What is God really like? Who is he? If you know what he's really like and who he is, then you already can ask that question. Does he know me? Does he love me? Can he ever forgive me? So here's the names of God in the Old Testament. And again, with the L's. And I'm trying not to overwhelm you, but I want you to see this, because every name, whenever God introduces himself in a compound name, it usually is in a very monumental time. Pay attention, all these times. It's in a monumental time, and God is introducing himself, just like Jesus, when Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know, when you hear him saying that, that's in the New Testament, like God is saying, this is the Old Testament version, okay? So, names of God containing El. Now, El itself means the strong one. That's what it means. It means God, it means the strong one. So, when you see Elohim, that is the strong one, the plural, which is, if you see in Genesis, if you see the plural Elohim, God made man in his image, Elohim, then what's that telling you if it's plural? Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. It's talking about the Trinity. All right? And even then, you know, it says that God created and the Holy Spirit went upon it. I mean, first, God spoke it. And then the water, the Holy Ghost went upon it and cleared it up after the calamity. So you see again, you see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When you see God speaking. Adam and Eve are in the garden. They heard the voice of the Lord in the garden, walking in the garden. The voice of the Lord is the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Jesus walking in the garden. Wow. That's powerful. So you see God, you see the Trinity all over the place. So here, the strong one as creator. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 and 1. Elon, which means God most high. And this is in Genesis 14 and 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, which is Salem means peace. And Melchizedek was actually a type of Jesus, because he doesn't talk about his beginning, it doesn't talk about his end, it doesn't talk about how he was created, and that Abraham blessed him. So you read out here, Melchizedek, king of Salem, or the king of peace, Jesus is the prince of peace, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and when it says the priest of God Most High, Elyon is exactly what is the Hebrew. And he blessed him, saying, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, Elyon, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. So again, this is God Most High. The next word, and this is not from the Jetsons, Elroy. Is boy Elroy, dun, 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 dun. No. Elroy means the God who sees. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 13, this is where Hagar is having a problem, because now she's being cast out. And so God comes and tells her she's going to be okay. So she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees, Elroy me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. Again. Think about it. It's the strong one. He is God Most High. He can take care of you. Take care of you. He sees your name. Remember, can God see me? Yes, God sees me. He's Elroy. He sees me. Can he take care of things? He's the God Most High. Yes, he can take care of things. Has he got enough strength to even do what I need? Yes, Elohim, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they are the strong ones. Now, El Shaddai, God Almighty. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto him and said, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. God took Abram and made him Abraham, showed just how he could do. He's God Almighty. You need something today? You need to see situations turn around? That's how situations turn around. God is in control. Amen? God is in control. So now, then there's El Olam. which is God everlasting. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called upon the name of the Lord, the eternal God, El Olam. Genesis 21 and 3. So here's a question. Does God know about my pain? Is he watching what's happening to us? Does he know what's going on? Is he really in my life? Is he really keeping a watch over me? Yes, he is El Roy. He's the God who sees. He's watching over us. He's got angels watching over you. Somebody's watching your every move. God's there. You know, I was trying to explain to somebody one time when I was counseling. They said, if God doesn't want me to feel this way, or if God wants me to do things different, then why is he not just why is he not just taking over and doing it? I said, have you ever been in the classroom and you're doing math problems on the board? And the teacher's watching, and she sees if you're doing it right. Trying to find the lowest common denominator, the highest common denominator, whatever it is, trying to work out the problem. The teacher's watching, but a teacher sits there and waits and tries to let you take care of it. Until the teacher says, okay, either the teacher goes, they're not going to get it, so I'm going to have to tell them. Or they wait for them to go, okay, teach, can you help me out here? The teacher knows what's going on. The teacher's watching. The teacher's very aware of what's happening. But the teacher also knows that in order for that student to get it right, the student's going to have to put forth an effort. And the student's going to, it's a learning. So God sits back many times and watches us and lets us do what we're going to do and waits for us to ask for help. So God sees, El Roy, God sees. You're the God who sees, for she, Hagar, said, now I've seen the one who sees me. Question number two, when all hope is gone and there's no place to turn, where is God? Can I count on him to help me? Sure. He's El Shaddai, God Almighty. One of the roots of the Hebrew, and listen to this carefully. One of the roots of the Hebrew word for Shad, for El Shaddai, is breast. Now realize that a mother's breast is totally sufficient to sustain and nurture the life of her baby without any other outside source. Think about that. That's powerful. Very powerful. When you come to know God as your El Shaddai, you don't need any outside help. He is your all-sufficient God. Wow. That's powerful. That's as powerful as it gets. In Genesis 17, Abraham is age 99 and Sarah is age 98 or 88, 89, and both were beyond their childbearing years. And up to this time, Abraham and Sarah had been childless. Yet the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am God Almighty. Literally, I'm El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. He says, I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. As for me, this is my covenant with you. You'll be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, which means exalted father. Your name will be called Abraham, which means father of many. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Genesis 17, 4 and 6. This is some powerful stuff when you think about his names. When I call upon him, when I'm praying sometimes, I'll say, you're El Shaddai. You're El Roy. I call out his name. And all I'm doing is I'm reminding myself, because he already knows, I'm reminding myself of his power and his glory. And so when I call out his name, it's a very powerful thing. He desires to be El Shaddai, your all-sufficient God, so when you come to him, you will have all that you need. Wow. That's some powerful, powerful stuff. Now, I know it's been kind of... Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Now, you have to actually look into Hebrew. These are Hebrew. When you see this little attack, brackets... When you see the God Most High, like in Genesis 14:18-20, if you have a Strong's Concordance, you'll see it. What you do is you take a Strong's Concordance, and when you see God listed, see his name listed, especially in the Old Testament, you can and practice taking these with you. Take these right here and practice. Go into the Old Testament, practice it with the Strong's Concordance, and you'll see these names. Again, God Most High, the one who sees. Elroy, you got to look into Hebrew. Now, Now, like when it says the king of Salem, Salem, of course, means peace. Jesus was the prince of peace. Melchizedek was the king of Salem. Again, you really have to get down and study these words. Once you start studying these words, it gets very, very powerful. You know, just like El Shaddai means that it stresses that God, a loving God full of supply and comfort. And his power is enough. He's the one standing on the mountaintop. He's got enough to take care of us. El Elyon, the Most High God, stresses God's strength, his sovereignty, and his supremacy. El Olam is the everlasting God, emphasizes God's unchangeableness and is connected with his inexhaustedness. This is some powerful stuff. Now, that stuff weren't written in your paper. That's something I just was writing down when I was looking up the words in the Hebrew. So what you have to do is, you can also, I think the New Living Translation, if you get the New Living Translation, I think, and I know the Open Bible, not the Open Bible, but the, what is the one I'm thinking about? Hold on. Let me, I'll tell you the Bible in a minute. It'll tell you. It'll pop it up each time. Let's see here. This is the one. Amplified. The Amplified Bible will have it. The Amplified Bible will put the Hebrew in there. And so the Amplified, I'm looking at Amplified right now, and I'll look up Genesis 1 and 1. Genesis 1. Well, it doesn't have it in Genesis 1 and 1. So let's try Genesis 14. So, well, it's not even, yes. That's the first one of, yeah. Good. So New Living Translation has them. The Amplified Bible has them too, but it doesn't have them quite as readily as I thought they did. So I looked this stuff up in Hebrew. And so, and if you want to take the time out to search it in the Hebrew, you can. But there's also like New Living Translation. It'll have it right there. And that's pretty cool. The New Living Translation is an awesome tool. And I have used New Living Translation a lot. Let's see here. I've got New Living Translation here. Fingers are too big. Dun, 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 dun. There you go. There we go. New Living Translation. Like she said, it has a footnote. So 14 and 18 brought you back. And it is at the bottom. Yeah, you got so again, New Living Translation, and some just regular study Bible. I think the Open Bible would have it, study Bible, and the Thompson Chain Reference. So there's reference Bibles that you can get. A good reference Bible will take care of it. It'll help you. So is there any more questions, comments? No, sir. That's actually like winds up being Jerusalem. You know, I think about Salem as the witch hunts in Massachusetts. But see, the thing of it is, if you look at Salem, a lot of this stuff, York, New York, any town or country we got here with new in front of it, the old country, and this is the new one. Okay. Yeah, Bern, New Bern, Bern, Switzerland, Little Egypt, Little Italy, Little China. So, but you look, anything, if you see something new here in the United States, new something, then it is, their descendants came from the original country, come here and called it the New England. This is New York, New Bern. Yeah, and Salem. Salem became Jerusalem. New Hampshire, that's right. That's right. Jerusalem. And what's Shalom? Shalom is peace. Or Shalom. Shalom is peace. Shalom. Salem is peace. Jerusalem. We're going to get tongue-tied in a minute. What's that? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it is actually, when you look up shalom, well, it's more than just blessings. It means, it's kind of like me walking up to you saying, I want God to bless you physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. I want Him to bless you every way He can bless you. Nothing missing. That's right. That's shalom. I want to bless you every way. I want to turn you every way but loose. Yep. Right, well, Shalem is the same root word for Shalom. Shalom means peace, and Jerusalem means city of peace. Pretty cool. When you take these words and you think something, what you find out from God too is many times when things are going on, things are happening, you can look, and I guarantee you, when you look, you will see that the names of the cities, the names of the people, all of them have very strong significance. I'd have to look it up. I'm studying the Roman Empire right now. And the Greeks, I had to stay out of this. And took it back. That was the Crusades. Oh, yeah, I've studied that many times. Crusades, they actually told the guys, if the Pope said, if y'all go fight for Jerusalem, I will give you condolence. Help me out, Eddie. What's the word I'm looking for? Not condolence, but a dolence. I'm going to give you salvation. You go fight for Jerusalem, and I'll give you salvation. And they did. Thousands went to take it back from the Arabs. And again, they were condolences. I'm trying to think of the word right now. But he said, I guarantee you, you'll get into heaven if you'll go fight. Wow. Oh, yeah, they've been fighting ever since Abraham messed up and had Ishmael fighting. Yeah, look, all right, at this moment, at this moment, the popular vote is 52-44, Donald Trump. And it's 24 electoral votes for Donald Trump, 3 for Hillary. Ohio. Well, what I don't understand is everywhere I ride in North Carolina, the only time I saw a Hillary sign was by the dump. I saw one. Oh, yeah. Psalm 90. I think it's Psalm 90 and 10. I'm looking it up again. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Well, what it is the popular vote decides the electoral college. So it's like, if you got 10 states, here's how it works. If you got 10 states, and out of 10 states, let's just say Stephen and I were running against each other. Okay? No contest. You'd win. All right? Well, I'm just saying as though, but each state, according to its population and its delegates, and they decide how many electoral votes, how many electoral college. And this is what the forefathers set up. The forefathers did this, not now. And so if, say, I won a popular vote, he won 6 states, I won 4 states. But in his 6 states, they all counted for 2. So you got 12. Okay? But mine counted for 4. Yeah, so he might get the most as far as population, but if you take each individual state and get its popular vote, and not only that, but you can still have the votes split up, but the Electoral College is going to take it to the one that gets the most. So that's how you can actually had the most popular votes. But here's a kicker. The last couple elections were only won like by 5 million votes. And it's recorded that over the last couple elections, 25 million Christians didn't vote. They stayed home. So if 25 million Christians would get up and vote the Christian way, there would not be a contest. Well, I think there's some. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember if it's that or they split. There may be some place where it might split. I don't know exactly. I'm getting mixed up with the delegates. I'm getting mixed up. Yeah. Right. Right. Psalm 90 and 10. Because some of them sit back and do something like this, and it aggravates me to no end. God will put in there who he wants, and so we're just going to sit back and let him do it. Or we don't want to be accused of voting for anybody, so we're just not going to vote. What they do is when a person refuses to vote for something silly like that, or they go put in some weird name, they need to go right there to go out to a government cemetery where all those guys are lying dead and just go ahead and spit on the graves. Just spit on them. Because those guys died for us to stand up. That's crazy. Dishonorable. Yeah. Yes, because you got those guys. Yeah, and think of all these guys. I would have never told that. Why? And taking your friends with you and paying for it. Yes, that's right. That's right. And some, and yeah, it's just crazy. Yeah, that's right. They're working our pocketbooks. And why? And not only that, but they're saying they need to come take our money to give other people, but they're not giving their money to get other people. All right, y'all, we're gonna go ahead and hang up so we can go ahead and go home and. Yeah, that's right. What now? When you're rich uncle? Trump wins West Virginia. Trump wins West Virginia, Kentucky, Indiana. Clinton wins Vermont. No, sir. They're still voting. Yes, ma'am. But like you were saying, if they're still out there, they're gonna let them vote. That's what I thought. But they're doing it. You know they're going to do it. They're going to fight each other to see who's got the which network can give the information the fastest.